Hang on a second, Rick. Rick Pearson joins us in a moment here. I'm trying to do the math. I'm not great at math, but I'm going to try. We're $3 billion short where we need to be in the state of Illinois. There is no income tax hike. That's what I'm told. So no new income coming in. Let's see here. So we're broke. How do we get through this? What did Governor Pritzker have to say today, Rick? I'm wondering. How you doing?
Well, that was kind of the theme of the budget address today. That and it's combined with the State of the State address. But it's really kind of all focused on the pandemic and pandemic relief and, yeah, trying to make up for lost revenues. Basically, in some respects, you could look at this as in a very partisan way that Pritzker is still stinging from the voter rejection of that proposed constitutional amendment that would have raised revenue by moving the state to a graduated rate income tax rather than the flat rate it has. And he blames Republicans and their business allies for leading the defeat of that. So today, as part of the closing the gap efforts, he proposed $932 million in closing business tax loopholes. And Republicans are saying that's, you know, obviously this is an attempt at revenge, and that at a time of all of the pandemic restrictions and other effects on businesses, this is not the time to be raising taxes on those businesses. Along with that, there's another $500 million that has always been earmarked to special places, like part of it to the road fund, part of it to local governments, their share of the state income tax. Local governments who are also reeling under the loss of revenues from COVID, they would lose roughly $100 million in their share of the state income tax. Then you combine that with some budgetary tricks, like you stretch out when state borrowing has to be repaid. Certainly the list of overdue bills in the state, which is already $5 billion, likely could grow longer. And through those budgetary tricks, you get the $41.6 billion, which is roughly flat with what the current year's budget is.
Mm-hmm. Back to that closing loopholes for businesses thing you mentioned right out of the gates there. Is this affecting small businesses? It just seems like that those are the types of businesses that are not doing all that well right now. What kinds of loopholes, without getting too deep in the weeds, Rick, can you sort of,
yeah,
you know, I mean, I know the budgets are weedy things, but at the end of the day, they actually affect us all. And I think that they're important. So if you're looking at small businesses, I'm just wondering the impact. I'm trying to understand what closing loopholes actually means.
Well, for example, for small business retailers, currently they're allowed to keep a portion of the state's sales tax that they collect as a processing fee. Well, this proposal would cap that amount that they could keep, and more of it would go to the state. There's also things like, and we went into this a little bit in the brief January session of an attempt to decouple the state from a accelerated federal depreciation tax withholding. And Pritzker is not going the full amount here, but does want to roll back some of that ability of businesses to immediately depreciate 100%. And, you know, so you've got things like that. I mean, one other thing, and it's not really a business tax, but it's something that Republicans readily supported, and that's a paring down of the tax credit that people can receive if they contribute to a private school tax scholarship. And that had been something that had been fought even during the Rauner administration. Pritzker had pledged to eliminate it completely. Now he's just rolling it back slightly. Mm-hmm. So you've got other incentives that provided things to businesses for hiring. Those would get pushed back as well.
Hmm. And does this all add up? The stuff you just told me to $3 billion.
Well, budgets never really add up. I mean, there's
great point.
There's a lot of play in here, no doubt, by estimating the size of the state's workforce and things like that, but I think one of the interesting things is that the state budget also is relying on current federal COVID relief funds for things such as to fund schools basically at the same level they were this year. And there's like $3 billion from the federal government that's for school aid that the state is using. But that having been said, it's not clear whether the state will meet the goals that it had set in a historic rewrite of school aid funding formula to help poorer schools. It's not clear if that federal money can actually be used to help the state achieve that new formula level. And for 2 years in a row, the state had made a 10-year commitment to put $350 million of new money each year into grade and high schools. And this will be the second year in a row we'll have missed that $350 million increase. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of very interesting reaction here. Certainly, you know, Republicans and the business community not happy about the tax loophole issue. You've got Democrats very surprisingly mild in their response. A lot of them saying it's not perfect. A lot of them saying this is a baseline for negotiations. Not any great overwhelming support from Democrats. Certainly public employees unions are supportive of looking at the corporate, closing these corporate, what Pritzker calls loopholes. But even you've got teachers unions saying there isn't enough money here for education and the need to pump more money into education to help offset increases in those dreaded local property taxes for schools.
Yeah, I'm just seeing this cross as you're talking about the reaction to the budget that was just unveiled today around noontime by Governor Pritzker. Illinois Chamber of Commerce, Pritzker's budget proposal misguided will hurt small businesses already struggling. Is there truth in that, do you think?
Well, I mean, certainly there's a valid question about with all of the restrictions that have been placed on businesses and the need to get the state's economy back going, do these taxes have a detrimental effect on the business community? Manufacturers Association saying the same thing, that we're the ones that, you know, came through in COVID and produced the ventilators and got the masks and all of those things. And they feel like they're being punished for their support of keeping the state going during COVID.
Yeah. The good news in terms of revenue for the state, I just saw this today too, Rick, is Illinois sports betting market is posting a record month, hitting $492 million, posting another record month for sports in December, I guess, came through. That was almost 10% up from November, despite all the land-based casinos being shut down at that time. Still
right,
way up.
Right. And you know, obviously, we'll see what the revenues are from the Super Bowl, too, and the betting that took place on that. But, you know, people sitting and can't get out, and the ability to be able to place bets on mobile phone to Illinois, you know, based sports books is just going gangbusters.
All right. How many years have you been covering this and you heard betting and marijuana can get our state back to being solvent again? I don't know if it's going to happen, but it certainly looks good when you see the money coming in, at least from the economic standpoint.
Yeah, but it looks good. But that's like the old thing about how the lottery money was supposed to fix our schools. And,
right.
You know, it's money that goes into a much bigger pot. And there's not one thing alone that will solve anything. Now, one other thing Pritzker did was really blast Republicans both at the national level and at the state level over the inability so far of the federal government to provide revenue to states and local governments to offset their tax losses, and basically imploring Illinoisans to contact the five of Republican congressmen in the state who have opposed it, Republicans nationally contending that states view this money as a bailout. And Pritzker saying this isn't money to be used as a bailout. This is money that would go to pay back these overdue bills, to pay back some of the borrowing. And then if we've got money left over, we might be able to use it to help pro-business proposals to create jobs and improve the economy.
Mm-hmm. I know the state was counting, and said the city as well, counting on a lot of money coming from the Biden administration to help sort of right the ship a little bit. How much of that is coming, Rick? What do you know?
Well, nothing's coming so far. And, of course, a lot of this is we've been seeing this play out in Washington that President Biden at first wanted to work with Republicans on a COVID package. Now looking at Democrats trying to go it alone in Congress with a relief package. But Illinois looking at, I guess roughly $3 billion or so in money that could be coming from the feds. But it's far from a done deal. I mean, things are in D.C. are always on the cusp of not happening. And that's certainly the case with this.
Absolutely. Hey, Rick, can you stick around for a few minutes here? I want to ask you about some other things in the political world, including Congressman Kinzinger and his family feud that's affecting him. And then the people, I mean, whoa, that is like tabloid fodder stuff. But then there's also just so much else going on with people stepping into the race, sure, potentially running for governor, stuff like that. We'll get to that. Rick Pearson, Chicago Tribune, is joining us here. We'll visit with him on the other side of this break. Chicago Tribune's Rick Pearson visiting with us here. Just to recap the budget, Governor Pritzker unveiled that today, and Rick was just telling us how it calls for redirecting $500 million in revenue sources. There's some Springfield math in it for sure, but then but there are no state income taxes, and that's none at all, which is interesting because the thing I want to ask you here, Rick, is the threat that we heard, or the cautionary warning we've heard for months from the governor, is that, well, now you've done it. You voted down my graduated income tax. So I have two choices. Number one was, I'm going to raise income taxes on everybody, even the people who can least afford it, especially in these times, or I'm going to need to do double digit across the board spending cuts. It seems from what I'm hearing from you, neither of those things has materialized.
No, that's exactly right. So, I mean, there's the good news for everybody is there is no income tax increase, and there is no general tax increase that's in this budget. But also, he did not outline these severe cuts that he warned would be forthcoming, that those aren't part of the spending plan either. And, so that's why it's easy to kind of take the leap to look at, oh, he made up for some of that by going after Republican-oriented, allies in business, in the business community. Mm-hmm. But as I said, when you're cutting money away from local governments, cutting money away from local mass transit, too, there's a price that we also will pay. Presumably, it could lead to higher income or higher property taxes or fare increases at the fare box.
Mm-hmm. Does it include this budget a hope-for line item for money from the federal government? Is there sort of a rounded amount put in there for that? Because I know sometimes that happens.
No, this budget doesn't count on any federal help. And in fact, Dick Durbin, even late in the last Republican Senate, said his advice to the state of Illinois would be, don't figure on getting any help from the feds anytime soon. Mm-hmm. So, no, there is no... there is no buffer of adding money that isn't there yet into this budget plan.
Okay, that's good. I want to ask you about Congressman Kinzinger in a moment here, making a ton of news nationally, locally, all over the place. But first, I know that you have covered, there's some folks who are sort of putting their, they're throwing their hat in the ring for potentially running for governor, right?
Yeah, we have one announced candidate who's a former state senator from downstate from the Metro East area, a little town called Waterloo, Republican Paul Schimpf. He's a former military prosecutor and Marine. He had actually run for attorney general in 2014 and lost to Lisa Madigan, but it was evident then that, he was looking to set his sights on higher elective office. So he's announced. You've also got suburban businessman Gary Riven, who is looking at jumping into the race. You've got Darren Bailey, state senator from Xenia, down in the southeast, down the state side. He's been part of the anti-mask, anti-pandemic restriction group, and also part of the group, a group basically known as separatists who want to see Chicago as its own state and the rest of the state would, according to him, do just fine. So he's an interesting character. There's several other Republicans looking at it. Of course, you know, one factor to keep in mind is you have Pritzker, who's worth an estimated $3.4 billion. He spent $171 million on his first election to office and beating Bruce Rauner. And, you know, money doesn't buy everything, but money is an imposing factor in politics. But, you know, Pritzker, the backdrop of this speech today, he was did it pre-recorded from the state fairgrounds in Springfield, which is now a new state vaccination site. And the backdrop of COVID, certainly his handling of COVID, testing, rollout of vaccines, problems with employment security, paying unemployment checks, issues at a veteran's home regarding COVID. These are all issues that are likely to be center stage in the 2022 governor's race.
Okay. I know you've been following the Congressman Kinzinger stuff, and it sort of reads a little bit like it belongs in People magazine or Us Weekly. I mean, this is a monster family feud, Rick. Look, I'm just going to read a couple of things. They've sent two letters, not one, but two letters, 11 members of the family of Representative Adam Kinzinger. It just like trashing him for voting to impeach Donald Trump. They called him misled, brainwashed. He's violating his Christian principles. He's a rhino, Republican in name only. He's part of the devil's army, Rick. They are not happy with him, what he's been doing. I've seen him in front of the national cameras a lot. He seems to be elevating his profile in that way. What do you make of all this?
Well, the real question is, what is the end game for Congressman Kinzinger? And I've asked him about it, and he hasn't really, you know, given that much of an answer. I mean, he's created a new super PAC, America First, where he wants to recruit people who believe in the traditional Republican Party and not what he calls Trumpism. So he's trying to do that. And you're right, he has been on virtually every TV. I'm waiting for him, you know, to appear on Wayne's World on local access, Channel 10 in Aurora.
Locally, I don't see him so much, Rick. Actually, I've noticed that. But go ahead.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, and certainly not only the television appearances, the profile you were reading from, which, you know, from the New York Times, Washington Post, and frankly, I would expect that there'll be a profile in People magazine. But again, what end? You know, the party still seems very much firmly aligned with the former President Trump, and Kinzinger speaks as a person of conscience and what he believes are traditional Republican principles, and that the Republican Party has basically become a party of one man. And, you know, he says he's not worried about if he loses, there'll be new congressional maps this year in Illinois and the states. He's not worried if he loses. He's been censured by some local county Republican organizations. He says, I'm not going to lose an ounce of sleep over that. And he says he's not really interested in running for against Tammy Duckworth, whose, you know, Senate seat is up, or for governor this year.
What's left? What is the end game then?
Well, then that's what leaves the question wide open, is what is the end game? Is this just a kind of a one-person movement, one-person-led movement, and is that where it lives and dies, as this outside political action committee doing fundraising and recruiting candidates? What's in it for him? He leads that, but I just don't know what the ultimate end game is here.
Mm-hmm. And that is the big question, because he is so public, so nationally, as you said, everywhere, creating this movement away from Trump. I mean, absolutely away from Trump. He says that we need to find our soul as a Republican Party. And then you see, you know, Donald Trump got 75 million votes, right? So you have a lot of folks are saying, we disown you, Adam Kinzinger, and he's taking a ton of heat from his own party over this.
Right. And, you know, and obviously it isn't easy being a Republican in Illinois anyway. You know, of the 18 members of Congress, only five are Republican. He's one of the five, and he's actually the northernmost Republican, even though he has large swatches of rural territory, but certainly, you know, nothing has exacerbated kind of the political divide between Chicago and the suburbs versus downstate than how Republican and Trump Republican that downstate has turned into. Used to be an area where you'd have conservative Democrats largely, you know, out of the coal mining and union community, and of course those are gone these days.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch, see what happens. Are you covering all this stuff mostly virtually these days, Rick? Is that how it works?
That's really the only way. I mean, there is talk that the General Assembly will resume in person at the state capitol in March. So we'll see what happens then. But, yeah, I mean, as I said, the governor's address, which is normally delivered at noon in the Illinois House chambers, instead it was pre-recorded out at the Illinois State Fairgrounds. And so what was really missing would have been some of the reaction to Republicans over his attacks on them.
All right. Well, thanks for breaking it all down for us today, Rick. It's good to hear your voice, and appreciate your time.
Well, thank you, Anna. Anytime.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Rick.